This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack and the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog. Happy Friday, Sean.
TGIF. It is, it was electric in the beginning when Indiana got a pick six to start this game off. And then it's the Indiana fans are cheering. I saw a lot of the Oregon Duck fans walking around. It was cleared out pretty quick.
I'm just glad the SEC didn't make it to the championship because we might have a player safety issue here.
Really? I what's going on here, Kramer? I mean, again, I was on Indiana, if you listen to the podcast, laying the 3.5. Even my dog for the semifinal was the alt on Indiana laying 13.5. Normally, I'm worried about jinx and stuff, but this is a bloodbath right now.
There was an interview coming out of the first quarter with Cignetti where he was not happy about the fact that they didn't line up correctly on a couple of those plays in the 75-yard drive for Moore, the second drive of the game. And they've just dominated ever since. He had this just glare and game over. I mean, I don't know what this says about the rest of college football.
Yeah.
Bad coaching. Coaching's hard.
Yeah. And hey, there is, we're only 7 minutes left in the third. They're up 27. I get it. It's not over yet.
And you know what? Herb Street and all these mainstream guys are now talking about team building and player development. What happened to your five-star argument where they can't have these guys on the same field? It is unreal how quick they're like politicians.
Yeah.
Whatever the flavor of the month is, they're in on it. So, congrats to Italian American of the Year,
Kurt Cignetti. Great year to be Kurt Cignetti. Kramer, let's just fast forward to the draft. Do the Raiders take Mendoza here, number one overall?
Well, per the cab driver, the Uber driver we came over with last trip out to Vegas, please no.
He did not went Mendoza, but
he's going to. Here's what I would imagine. He won't have to do any of the skill stuff. The throwing, any of that stuff. And he's going to crush the interviews.
Yeah.
He's going to crush the, he's smart. He's smarter than all the coaches he's going to be interviewing with. He's got a degree, 3 years it took him to get a degree from Berkeley. How many NFL head coaches you think could get a degree from Berkeley in 6 years?
There you go.
I just think his LinkedIn, it's going to be, he's so impressive. So I think that's the thing that keeps him propped up.
I think a guy like Tom Brady, if he's involved in the process at all, he's going to love Mendoza, right?
I think so, right? Similar kind of story, like went to a program, worked hard, got a starting job, worked hard, transferred to another program, worked hard, Heisman.
And I don't know if it should be held against him, but like this to me is Kurt Cignetti's masterpiece, right? Like this team is, to me, it's like Kurt Cignetti. And I guess not trying to take anything away from Mendoza. He's balling out. But also it's just like, I mean, look at this game. Dudes are wide open. It's almost a little too easy for him.
Yeah, I mean, they got to the playoff with a quarterback with much less caliber than Mendoza last year. You have to tip the cap to both coaching and just, again, I think in a time where you're bringing in transfers and development is key, you're just the good coaches are going to rise to the top. And it shows what happens to the programs that just pay for the best players but don't coach them well.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of a tip of the hat to Dan Lanning, although they're getting rolled right now, because I think he does the same thing out there. Yeah, I'd say I'd be... Now, I know there's not just Todd McShay who have put Moore in the top spot. This is a bad look for him all in all. Big moment. So I don't know if Dante Moore stays near the top of the draft. We'll see, because he's the guy, I think, with his arm talent. We'll see like coaches get excited after the workouts.
Yeah. Listener slid into my DMs. He said Chambliss goes number one overall, 22-1. Any shot?
No.
As much as a guy I like a long shot, especially this far out for the NFL draft, tough to play that right now.
Again, he didn't exactly put up Jackson Dart numbers at Ole Miss. And I think he's just a little undersized.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit less desirable in the arm talent. I think he's just a fun player.
Yeah.
I don't know what his NFL career holds, but he's certainly a fun player.
Certainly fun
winner.
Player. We got an awesome show for you. It's obviously NFL playoffs, super wild card weekend. We're going to be talking Super Bowl exactives, of course, first, any and many. red hot handicapper Ryan Kramer going to give out some first TD winners. Knock on wood. We will be talking about the college football national championship. Early look there with Colby Dant. Sports betting blackjack, our paper ticket parlays. Just a jam-packed show. And of course, CJ Sullivan, NFL ladders, little playoff leader futures, even a Pleaser segment as well. They got the Pleaser cards printed out here at Circa. And if you're wondering, hey, normally our buddy Chris Wilberding, a.k.a. Wilbo, a.k.a. Big Balls, is here. He couldn't make it because they are doing the big check ceremony for all the season-long winners, Circa Million, Grandissimo, and you can actually catch that live. They are streaming it live over on VSiN, on the on VSiN's X page, at VSiN Live, and over on the VSiN YouTube page. So if you want to flip over there, maybe check in over there, check those guys out as well. So a lot going on here, Ryan, downtown Circa.
It's awesome. Well, it's too, I mean, it would have been tough had we came in first. Do we do the show or do we get our big check?
I think we would have been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe host it from the event.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Like two.
We should remind Derek, like, hey, you got to schedule the check ceremony a little earlier so we can do that and the show.
I'm picturing like basketball style. You're crammed in a little sideline booth, just calling the event.
Yeah, so
come into the stage.
Check in on that live over on the YouTube VSiN page. Kramer, I mean, we're talking playoffs, and I thought it would be fun to go back and look, see what we got right, see what we got wrong. We put out a playoff bracket, of course, with our exact how we thought it would exactly shake out for the NFL playoffs. We got my graphic here. We can pull that up. Of course, I had, I had the Philadelphia Eagles over the Denver Broncos, which I do have that exact. I played it before the year. That was 125-1. I think it's down to like 40-1 right now. Broncos are the number one seed. Broncos are a number one seed that like no one's talking about. No one's excited about the Broncos.
I'd argue both one seeds are getting a little bit of the same treatment.
Yeah. A couple of misses for me. I did put the Ravens in the playoffs. Obviously, they didn't get in. Chiefs, they didn't get in. Bengals, they didn't get in. I did have the Steelers in, did have the Bills in, did have the Texans in. I do have the Steelers winning a playoff game, which I do like their chances to move on to the divisional round. So still got a chance to get two of the four divisional teams right. And I had the Broncos as the number one seed. Very, very crazy take by me. On the NFC side, I had the Eagles playing the Packers, one seed versus the seven seed. Eagles are not the one seed, but they're the three seed. If they do end up squaring off against the Packers, they would be hosting that game. Bucks did not get in. I had them getting in. I also had the Falcons getting in. In my defense, the Falcons and Bucks did tie for the most wins in the NFC South. Didn't get in. That's a nice little flex.
They kind of were in, right? If you knock someone out after they've finished their season,
yeah,
it's kind of like getting into the playoffs.
They should put them in. I had the Lions getting in, obviously did not. And then I did have the Bears getting in and the 49ers. So right on those, and didn't have them moving on, which kind of aligns with what I like as far as this week. Kramer, let's take a look over at your playoff.
Shorter portion of the segment. All that matters is Jacksonville.
Yes.
Look at that prediction. Somehow I was wise enough to not make them the one seed as well. That was right. Everything else was wrong. Chargers did make it in my version, and in the NFC side, not much to write home about. We're drawing pretty
Giants
dead.
Giants are not going to make it to the divisional round.
I don't think the Bucks are going to make the champ. My Bucks Jags exacta did die on the final day of the season.
Yeah.
And shout out to Dan Campbell for being a loser and not knowing how to call plays.
You got the Packers in there, the 49ers in there.
That was an accident.
Now, Ryan, there is your Jacksonville Jaguars, who I do
like.
That's
all that matters.
We'll be breaking all the games down as we pick every NFL game against the spread. We're going to keep that tradition alive.
Get this gross bracket off the screen. No one needs to see it.
Even when we came in, when we were, we do the old line change here with humans, get a little pulse on what humans likes, talking to humans. And you said, he asked, who do we like? You say the Jags. And he's like, everyone I've talked to likes the Jags. Are you worried, Ryan? Even some mainstream bigger outlets kind of gravitating towards the Jags. Are you worried there's too much Jag love out there?
I think a lot of people are seeing finally what I saw at the beginning of the season. I think this is a tremendously hot team, so it makes sense that people would gravitate.
Are you talking about Trevor Lawrence and his hair, or just the way they've won 8 in a row?
There's a lot of things that are attractive about the Jacksonville Jaguars. The tone of the defensive coordinator, Trevor Lawrence and his beautiful quarterback play and hair. Yeah, I think very simply put, the Bills are one of the more flawed teams in the postseason who, if not for Josh Allen, this is not a good team at all. And the Jags, again, we had this debate on the podcast, are the Jags potentially the best defense or second best to the Texans in the conference? They're playing lights out on that side of the ball. They're stopping the run, which is going to be difficult for the Bills. And then schematically, they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to move the ball. Oh, and by the way, humid, 70 degrees.
Yeah.
It's not a thermometer game, but we're getting a team coming from the north down to the south. We always think about the other way around. I just think it's a smash spot for the Jags. So, no, I'm not worried. In fact, I played -4.5 here. I played -13.5, inspired by your Indiana play on the digital streets. Yeah, I'm going to look pretty silly if it doesn't work, but I'm all in. Sometimes you got to push the chips.
Yeah, and again, look at all these quarterbacks in the playoffs. Not a lot of experience. Of course, Aaron Rodgers, bunch of games started. Jalen Hurts, most experienced quarterbacks in the playoffs. Hey, we're going to break down every game. We're going to talk picks, props. It is the NFL playoffs, and we're doing it live here. Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, Sean Second Money Green, Ryan Real Money Kramer. When we return, breaking down the first two games. Stay tuned.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. Sean Second, the Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Hello, Sean. Good turnout from Indiana, both in the stadium and at the Circus Sports.
Yeah, no, again, I was getting in my paper ticket parlay, and the noise was rattled me from that first pick six. And again, the game is not over. I mean, this isn't a dome. Oregon has been able to move the ball. They're now at the 40 here with 2 minutes left in the third. They're down 27. Trying to make a case. I did like Dan Lanning going for two. Need a lot of points. Better start stacking them now.
Yeah, no, playing to win the game. That's Dan Lanning.
Of course, we're going to talk college football national championship and the Super Bowl. If you're looking to get in on the action, you can over at ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market. They got some awesome futures pricing available in 40 plus states. Download ProfitX today and use that promo code VSiN, and you get the 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and start experience the future of winning. That's ProfitX, promo code VSAN to get started today.
All right, Sean, let's talk wild card weekend, as the NFL refers to it, but yeah, as we refer to it, super wild card week. I'm telling you, they're just going to, when the eighth team comes, they're going to go back to calling it super wild card weekend just to trick our minds again. First game on the weekend, we're on the East Coast. We're in Carolina. Cam Newton will be in the house. They're calling all the big dogs back in. As they host the Rams, got all the way up to 11. It's now back to -10.5 here at the Circa. 46 is the total. We did a review of the worst 10 teams in DVOA history to make the playoffs. The Carolina, of course, is the 10th. And basically the lesson that we took from that is that these teams that are really bad shouldn't be in the playoffs. We have to change the rules. Well, there's been the other nine, 5-1 outright, Sean, and the other four did not cover the spread. So I think the lesson here is you take Carolina on the money line or you lay the Rams. No, no way. I'm just going to take the points, play the math, as the nerds would say, and hope the rain kind of mucks this up a little bit, drives it to a lower scoring game, and we get a little bit of that spunkiness from the Carolina defensive line, which I think was kind of the difference in the last game.
Yeah, I mean, let's just start with this Panthers team. They've been awesome off a loss all season. Why would this ATS, why would this not continue? 8-0 ATS off a loss. This is when this Panthers team thrives, and you kind of throw in the intangibles of the weather. They have the extra day of rest. Rams are, you know, flying from the West Coast to the East Coast, and you highlighted it, Ryan, with the DVOA, but the Panthers had a negative 69 point differential this season. Nice. 23rd in the NFL. The only playoff teams with lower point differential, 2004 Rams, won outright. 2011 Broncos, the Tebow team, won outright. 2010 Seahawks, Beast Quake game, won outright. Each of the previous, they all won. There is a formula here of these historic home dogs showing up in the playoffs, and this is historic. I think at 10.5, 11, certainly at 11, that is the biggest home dog ever in NFL history. I mean, you know, sometimes I could be accused, you know, you can call me a square if you want, but historic home dog in the NFL, I'm always going to be on the dog here. And I think the Rams, this Rams team, I don't know, man. I worry their defense. I know they're getting Quentin Lake back, which certainly should help the pass defense a little bit. But man, this Panthers team can hang around. All the, you know, all the EPA, your DVOA does not look good for the Panthers. But that's why they're getting 11 points, 10.5 points at home. And this is when these playoff dogs show up. I understand the angle of a quarterback and head coach not having experience, but you know, you look at those stats, they haven't been great straight up, but they have done well, or at least okay, quarterbacks making their first start ATS. Obviously, Stafford, pretty experienced there in the playoffs overall. But man, I would, especially when you throw in this weather, this is the biggest game in Panthers history in a long time. Isn't the place going to be rocking?
It is. Again, the Cam Newton's in the house. They're doing it all the way. And I think, again, I think this is I'm going to take the points. 59% of the bets, but only 11% of the handle on the Rams here at the Circus. So the sharps coming in with their big bets on the Panthers. Yeah, I think anytime you can get an opportunity where I'd imagine this is one of those games where by the time we get to kick on Saturday, I would imagine that the average guy who's just betting on every playoff game is like, oh yeah, give me the Rams. And so I think there's also a little bit of this. They're a gross dog. They're not going to become a cat with fleas, metaphorically speaking. So I guess we're both going to do the dance. We're going to take the garbage.
Well, and I think Tet McMillan, I think he could be the X factor. We saw what Michael Wilson did against this Rams secondary. And then on the other side, the Rams had just absolutely no defense. The Cardinals had absolutely no defense to slow down the Rams. And Michael Wilson and Jacoby Brissett, like, were kind of almost close to backdooring that. Now you're outdoors on the East Coast. I just would be surprised if the Rams completely destroy this Panthers team. I get it. Hey, the revenge game, they're going to lock in. But, I mean, the Rams lost outright as 9.5-point road favorites. What has changed so dramatically with either one of these teams that now the Panthers are getting an extra point?
It's a playoff game. Okay. I think that's the biggest, because, you know, you could at least talk to me about a little bit of a letdown spot there in the regular season.
Yeah, but they weren't necessarily looking ahead like they had.
No, of course not. But, I think here's what I would say. If the Rams put up 31 points again, I'm a little worried about the Panthers' ability to keep pace.
Okay.
I think it's going to need to be a little bit of a lower scoring game.
But don't you think a rainy, windy day, get some of these turnovers? And Stafford, as much as I do think he deserves to be the MVP, if you want to debate, fine. I really don't have a strong take, but I would probably end up giving it to Stafford. Look at Stafford in some of these, he threw three interceptions on the road against the Falcons, had a pretty good game against Seattle, but certainly missed some throws there late at Arizona. You know, like he's had some interceptions here in the second half of the season, including two against his Panthers team, one for a pick six.
gunslinger. That's what they call those guys.
Well, yeah, but I think you know, the Rams might catch a couple strays here. So, yeah, give me the Panthers plus the points.
Yeah, and tune in to the old X feed at KramerCentric. First touchdown, although I'm going to give out some a little later, but first touchdown card will be released. I would say if you're making me fill out a confidence pool, this game is least confidence. Green Bay, Chicago, the nightcap. We got a little night kick in Soldier Field. Third game between the Packers and Bears. Only the third time that's happened in history. And the Bears are 1.5-point home dogs. I think this Bears team is one that has been pointed to all season as being a little fugazi. But now we sit here, Sean, with 73% of the bets and 79% of the handle here at the Circa on the Bears. Number hasn't really budged. So what does that make? What do you make all of that? Because to me, there's a huge advantage for the Packers here on the offensive side of the ball. And I wonder if the Bears offense themselves is going to be able to stay clean and get the turnover they've been relying on, although it is Jordan Love. So I'm curious on your take here, Sean, because seeing that almost 80% of the bets have come in on the Bears here at Circa is a little surprising to me.
Yeah, two things, I think, injury-wise that get me on the Packers here. One, getting their tackle back, Zach Tom. I think that's going to be huge. Healthy Jacobs. I think they're going to be able to run the ball here against the Bears a little bit. And you mentioned it, Ryan, this Bears team that relies on turnovers, CJGJ, a guy who is out with a concussion, who has a nose for the ball, is good at generating turnovers. I think him not being out there for the Bears is a big difference. The receiver core is still pretty banged up for the Bears, and you have a head coach and quarterback with zero playoff starts combined, whereas you get, you know, the experience of Jordan Love and LaFleur there. Ben Johnson, you know, going out of his way to try and start stuff with Matt LaFleur. We play our guys. We don't rest our starters. Meanwhile, I prefer rest if you're the Packers. They just played a somewhat physical game here against the Lions. And yeah, I know they're at home here, but the Packers kind of own this team historically, 21-4 straight up run with one of their wins, that crazy game where they needed the Malik Willis to drop the fumble, the onside kick recovery.
Yeah.
I just think that magic that the Bears had where they were winning all these games where they were down with 2 minutes left, I think that's kind of run out for them. So I do like the more experienced Packers team here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I told you this earlier in the week in the office. I'm not a big Jordan Love guy. I could still see him getting a little loose with the football and throwing a pick. Although with the wind situation and the weather situation, if both teams are limited and it becomes a running run-on-run game, I love the Packers even more. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. I just got down on his anytime. I'm going to be playing his two touchdowns. I think he certainly is in for a big game. As you remember, he kind of was banged up. They rested him a bit, and he's talked about it this week. He feels great, ready to go. So Packers, lay the points. Sorry, Bears fans. I didn't know wild bears get fleas. They might have some fleas.
So you think they are a public dog here, right?
Both every source of data that does betting splits has the Bears heavily on the side with the tickets, and yet the line's not moving, Sean.
Maybe telling me something there, Ryan. The line's talking to you. Yeah, I'm all over the Packers. Give me the Packers on the money line. The 1.5 does scare me a little bit. I will take the money line. Kramer, officially on the Packers?
Packers, lay the points. Not scared.
Hey, when we return, first any and many, our favorite touchdown bets for Super Wild Card Weekend.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Well, Sean, I think, can we call Oregon officially dead?
I don't know.
Ducks ready for roast?
I'm not one to cash my tickets before they hatch, if you will.
Okay.
But feeling pretty good. Hey, if you want to get in on the action, you got to do it over at Boomer Sportsbook, Nevada's newest sportsbook. And of course, new sportsbook, great opportunity here. Use code VSiN when you sign up at Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Let's go, baby. Betwithboomer.com. Use that promo code VSIN250 and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. And they get you minus 105 All pro football spreads. Must be 21. T's and C's apply. Bet responsibly. Kramer, let's talk a little TDs.
While you were talking about boomers, Oregon got a punt blocked. So it's just all three phases.
Well, and again, it probably doesn't make a difference, but every single ball is bouncing Indiana's way from that. From I mean, those fumbles could have made. Probably didn't change the game, but when Mendoza, the ball bounces right back into his hand. And then the other one, when he was driving into the red zone and fumbled, and a guy felt like everything is kind of bouncing the right way.
Your 13.5 might be fortunate for though. I think the minus -3, 3.5, 4 has been
probably
safe.
Didn't swing it, but certainly helped with some of the alt lines. Kramer, you are the first touchdown savant. A lot of pressure here. Let's keep the heater alive. Let's start with your first touchdown.
And shout out to the Circa. Most of the first touchdowns open for the weekend. The one that's not open yet is this one. Jags Bills. You know I was going to come with some fire, hot Jags hot tub, Jagwagon action. Tim Patrick is 100-1, Sean.
Wow.
Now, Tim Patrick does not run. He's not leading the team in snaps. He's not leading the teams in routes run, but he is a big receiver and they do deploy him in the red zone. And when you take a look at the Bills over the past couple weeks, or even really the back half of the season, they've been giving up touchdowns to big receivers. T. Higgins, Jaden Higgins on the Texans,
Mac Hollins
on the Patriots had a nice game. I see Tim Patrick is that same guy. He's been good to us in the past with some touchdown magic.
We hit a nice two touchdown for him when he was on the Lions.
And the shocking thing to me was he's actually only behind Myers and Washington in terms of red zone opportunities in the pass game. That was really shocking to me. So we're going to take Tim Patrick at 100-1 first touchdown. You should know his anytime is 11-1. If you're into that kind of thing, shout out to Tim Patrick. Let's go. Jags.
Fun sprinkle for sure. And he's that prototypical guy, crafty veteran, knows where to be in the red zone and a giant frame. So crazy that's 100-1 there over on the blue book, right?
Yeah, get the tape measure out for that size frame.
Mine feels kind of puny in comparison, but I love his matchup here this week. And the Eagles have been using him a ton. Almost, I feel like to some degree, the Dallas Goedert stuff has somewhat replaced the tush push as kind of the go-to play here for the Eagles. They have that shovel play. They have these little boot action stuff off of Dallas Goedert. 11 receiving touchdowns for Dallas Goedert this season, leading the team. And only one behind Devonta Smith for the entire league. So going up against the 49ers team, who's allowed 10 touchdowns to the tight end, that almost leads the league as well. So you have one of the league leaders in touchdown catches going up against this 49ers team, which is decimated at linebacker. They're three starting linebackers with the nickel. None of those guys were on the roster as of November 26th. So they are incredibly thin on the defensive side to begin with due to injuries, but especially at the linebacker position. Goddard, 11 receiving touchdowns for the Eagles. AJ Brown's closest to him was 7. So they clearly like to get him going in the red zone. 10-1 first touchdown. I mean, I like his anytime. I think you can find like a 190 on that. His two touchdown, I think they're all good, but would not be surprised if they go to Dallas Goedert early and often. So yeah, give me Dallas Goedert 10-1.
I will be rooting against you if the ball comes down to the 1 yard line. Gonna need Jalen Hurts to get that.
Well, you want first? Are you on Jalen Hurts' first touchdown?
No, all of it.
They might score more than one touchdown. No,
all of it. I will have Jalen Hurts parlayed in some first touchdown activity. There's just gonna be a lot going on. All right, anytime.
Let's go.
Did you? And I just meant I mentioned it because the Eagles game is a great quarterback anytime touchdown game, and I felt like we shouldn't even put it on the card because it's already obviously on the card, but Jalen Hurts is +125 on the anytime market. But the quarterback on the other side, Brock Purdy, he is going to be under duress in this game. I think in general, the Eagles defense are going to give them some fits on the back end as well. And for that reason, Brock Purdy is going to have to use his legs. And I was shocked to find out that the Eagles are only behind the Cowboys in terms of rushing touchdowns to the quarterback. On the season, 7 touchdowns they've given up this year, the Eagles. So Brock Purdy's anytime is +650, Sean. I know he's not necessarily looking for the end zone all the time, but in some of these got to have it games, he has. I was surprised he didn't do more running against the Seahawks. And I think it's going to be a similar kind of game. So plus 650, Brock Purdy finds the end zone. Eagles still win by margin.
My model doesn't have any 49ers touchdowns.
Zero 49er Ryan, so touchdowns.
Yeah, go Birds. Okay. Best of luck with that, psych.
Okay.
For my anytime touchdown, and this is a guy we were, this is a classic Saginaw's play going back and forth, doing some deep research. I like Luke Musgrave. I thought he was an interesting prospect coming in. Then clearly the Packers fell in love with Tucker Kraft, who was having an awesome season, blew out his knee. Unfortunately, was done for the year. He was like a huge part of their passing offense. I thought Luke Musgrave would step up. He really hasn't. I don't, whatever it is, they're not in love with Luke Musgrave. But the other tight end that's kind of involved is Josh Weil, and his anytime is 9-1. If you remember in that Bears game, the last time they played, he had a 21-yard catch against them. He's got solid route participation. Bears aren't incredible against the tight end. And again, going back to CJGJ, I'm telling you, in a big spot, you're going to miss a veteran presence like CJGJ. And Josh Weil at 9-1 is a fun play for me in the anytime market. So give me Josh Weil.
It's a classic backup who's out there all the time because he blocks well.
Yes, let's go.
All right, two touchdowns. Like the idea of the Chargers being able to move the ball through the air against the Patriots defense. And when you dive in, what you would find is that the Patriots are actually 31st in DVOA, 30th in EPA per play to wide receiver ones. Quentin Johnson is that wide receiver one. And then you zoom into the Chargers and you find out that over the last 7 weeks of the season, Quentin Johnson is number one in red zone opportunities for them. He's 20-1 on the two touchdowns. I love the matchup. I love all of his props. I think receiving yards are in play here. I think you can ladder him up. You can do this all sorts of fun ways, but 20-1 for Quentin Johnson to have a two touchdown game, just like he did to open the season, Sean, in the playoffs to help the Chargers advance here against the Patriots. He's anytime's plus 250 as well.
You know, and he's an interesting cat, right? Because he was someone that was like, oh my God, he's a total bust. And then Harbaugh
belief
comes. And yeah, our buddy Decker, who's a huge Chargers fan, goes, that's all it took was someone to believe in him. And it seems like it does seem like his struggles were clearly mental. It was a lot of drops. Like, he's a very athletic guy. And now he seems to have some good chemistry with Herbert, and yeah, certainly going to have some opportunities.
It's very logical. If someone says, hey, we trust your abilities, we like you, go play, you're maybe going to be a little looser, not so tight.
For me, in the two touchdown market, let's go to the Pats workhorse. Give me Hunter Henry, two touchdowns, 14-1. He's third in the NFL in tight end red zone targets, seven touchdowns. Again, I'm taking him and Goddard because they lead the team in receiving touchdowns. Oh, it's not rocket science, but I think they're both going to get in the end zone. Give me Hunter Henry to get it too. Make it two, Utah Chargers, 25th in DVOA versus the tight end, which is interesting, Ryan, because you look at tight end yards, they're actually okay. But I think Hunter Henry can get in the end zone, and Drake May, young quarterback, they like to use, you know, they like some boot action stuff with Drake May, which I feel like always helps the quarterback. So if Drake's going to be moving near the goal line, I think Hunter Henry's going to be the guy he's looking to throw to. So Hunter Henry, two touchdowns, 14-1.
Yeah. He's also kind of there. I mean, I know Diggs is there, but outside of Diggs, he's kind of the primary. And also he doesn't drop anything.
No, very, very reliable target. Sean Boutte, he popped up on the injury report. I don't know if you saw that, Ryan. Yeah. It was a late ad with a hamstring injury.
We got a sore booty.
Good news for my Efton Chisholm, 100-1 first touchdown. If you're looking for a true D-gen play, I think any time for Efton Chisholm, the third, that is a fun one. Look him up. At least take his over a half catch. The guy is getting a catch.
His name is very weird, but when you add the third to the end, yeah, it's like, okay.
Sounds like
I'm in.
He sounds like a character from Clue or something.
Yeah, he was a lord up in Yorkshire in the 1700s. Yeah,
he's going to dominate some serfs on Sunday. Hey, when we return, Super Bowl exactas. That's right. All that much more. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with our partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Well, my favorite part of watching this Indiana team is when they cut to the sideline, Cignetti has the same look. Just never satisfied.
So angry.
Mission not done.
Nah, they're up 49-15. So now I feel a little more comfortable, Ryan. Okay. Now I feel like, all right, we're going to be able to pull this out. So, what do you think they open this number at? Indiana, Miami.
Doesn't it have to be something like 3 again? Indiana by 3?
Indiana, Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking it's going to be much higher.
Okay.
No, I mean,
I think Miami has vaulted up the power. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe it's more like 6.
No, I mean, yeah. I guess how much did they upgrade him off that
win over Ole Miss? The game's in Miami. It's a home game for
Miami.
That
is true. I wasn't, when my instant thought, I wasn't factoring in the home field.
Fun fact, they get a $3 million travel budget for the national championship game.
Oh, man.
Michael Irvin's going to have a good night.
That's going to Michael Irvin's after party. Hey, of course, heading to the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Love me some VSiN Pro, Ryan. We use it all the time here over on the Sports Gambling Podcast. Opta AI, great for props, the betting splits, and, of course, matchup analysis, 24/7 video, the VSiN Watch app. Expert picks, the guides are great. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Intro offer for $9.99. Are you out of your mind? Or 50% off the annual plan. Get started today. VSiN.com/subscribe. Kramer?
Well, Sean, great time of the year because we can they offer all sorts of fun things to wager on.
Yeah.
Now the exactas are open all year long. But it does seem, I don't know if it seems safer or just a fun thing to relook at once. Although I was poking my head in a couple weeks ago. I got some bad numbers, but it's a fun thing to poke your head in because now we have a fixed set of teams. We know who's playing who. We know the paths. We've all done our brackets and figured out what we like. So perhaps we should now. I went a little out of control here.
Yeah, I saw your sheet of exactas.
I went to the window and just got.
Why don't we bring up your graphic here, Ryan?
Just got overwhelmed.
You'll never guess what team Ryan's leading into.
Oh well,
AFC. Are you gonna get a Jags jersey, Ryan? I know, of course, when Kyle Juszczyk won you all that money for hitting first catch in the Super Bowl, you got a Kyle Juszczyk helmet. What Jags merch are you gonna get if the Jags bring this home?
So the obvious choice is a signed Trevor Lawrence mini helmet, but the less obvious choice is a signed Liam Cohen mini helmet.
Does he do autographs?
Maybe
feels like he's too locked in.
Whatever Liam Cohen signs, I want one of those.
Okay.
Especially if he wins coach of the year, with shout out to Liam Cohen. I believe he's the coach of the year, but, yeah, like all these exact, I basically just
walk us through all your exactas.
Right? Here's the logic. I wanted to play the Jags with every NFC team that I think realistically can make a run here. So starting at the top, Seahawks, Jags over Seahawks is 43-1.
Okay.
I scratched the 2-seed Bears. I don't think they have a shot to make it.
Really?
Go to the 3-seed Eagles, Jags over Eagles, 96-1, which not on the graphic, but I may take the other side of that just so I'm not in a pit of misery if Sean's celebrating a Super Bowl again over the Jags. Then we go to the 4-seed. Scratch it. Panthers don't have a chance. Get them out of here. 5-seed Rams, 56-1 for the Jags to beat the Rams. The 6-seed, the 5-seed was the 49ers, actually. 225-1. So I'm playing both sides of the Eagles-Niners game. I do kind of tend to believe with mainstream media that the winner of that team certainly could go on a run. Then as I mentioned, the 6-seed Rams, 56-1, the 7-seed Packers, 195-1. The reason for playing them, I don't love the Packers going on a deep, deep run, but I do think they're going to win the first game. And so the value at 195-1 was hard to pass up. Now off the record, I'll be playing the inverse of the Eagles and Niners versions. So a little, we'll call it, I don't want to call it insurance, but I will have a little bit of money going against my Jags if they make it to the Super Bowl. So,
all right. Yeah, I mean, so it will be hilarious if somehow the Jags beat the Panthers. But
for context, it's 5-1 for them to win the conference, the Jags.
Yeah.
So doing the math, it seemed like a better path for me to have more fun long shot exactas.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only counter is what if the Jags lose to the Bills, but
then I lose all those bets, yeah. Sean. Thanks for pointing that out.
Well, and the same applies to my exactas. I already have Eagles over Broncos. Broncos are the two or the one seed. And again, we keep coming back to the Broncos. I'm not staying away from my Broncos, you know, shying off my Broncos to win the AFC. I think they figure out how to win ugly in a wide open AFC. And the Indiana just scored another touchdown. They're already dead. Stop. They're already dead, Cignetti.
He's smiling.
Oh, he almost cracked a smile here. So I already have Eagles over Broncos at 125-1. So I don't need to add that. They're the one seed. I'll go to the two seed, the Pats. Now, certainly what I'm a little nervous about the Pats making on a run is that Drake May has never started a playoff game. Obviously, he's looked pretty good, but it's tough to go on a run here if you've never won a playoff game, Ryan. And I sent you a stat here of quarterbacks in their playoff debut who won more than two playoff games. It's Jaden Daniels last year, or he won two. Yeah. Brock Purdy in 22, he won two. And Mark Sanchez in 2009. Won two games.
Who can forget that run?
Well, but I could see in the same way Mark Sanchez did, I can kind of see Bo Nix going on a similar, carried by his defense, does enough, makes a couple big plays, gets to the Super Bowl, ultimately doesn't get it done. Again, I already have that. And then Eagles over Steelers, 185-1. What's different about this Steelers team from previous Steelers teams, and I know they're on an ice cold streak here. What, six games, haven't won outright or covered. It's been bad. It's Tomlin. Here's where they have the edge. One, they're they won the division, so they start with a home playoff game. Two, they have the most playoff experience at the quarterback position by a wide margin. By a wide margin. Again,
if you add up all the other quarterbacks, they have less experience than Aaron Rodgers.
I think so, or at least it's close, because I know Hurts has six games, and then Hurts has nine games. He's won six, and then how many does Aaron Rodgers have? I was just, maybe he has 12. I think he has 12 playoff wins.
I'm gonna pull it up.
Yeah, pull it up.
Keep talking.
But again, Aaron Rodgers with this team, getting DK Metcalf back, they have TJ Watt. Maybe some of these lower seeds end up moving on in the AFC. Of teams that could go into Denver and shock the world, I think it might be the Steelers. So I feel like I have myself covered here a little bit with the 1, 2, and 4 seed with the Steelers. So yeah, give me the Eagles over the Pats. That's 51-1. And then Eagles over the Steelers, 185-1.
Stafford has 10 games. Hurts has 9.
Oh, maybe it was playoff.
Aaron Rodgers has 22.
22, but 12 wins. So the graphic I was looking at, apologies, was wins.
Still, adding up Stafford and Hurts, Rodgers still has more games played.
Yeah, and you look at these, and they have an experienced quarterback. I think Tomlin has one last run in him at some point. And maybe he's a little motivated with his mortal enemy, Harbaugh, getting the can. TJ Watt, that defense has potential.
Oh, Tomlin better coach for his own job. It sounds like he's not completely, although it does sound like he's going to be safe. I was just watching Aaron Rodgers in a conference championship game. If you remember, the Packers were 15-1.
Yeah.
And old Eli came to town, hit the Hail Mary before the half, shredded their defense.
Well, I was talking to Chris Massaro there on X, very sharp handicapper. You know, he's on the Friday Football Challenge. Chop it up with him a bunch.
Wish we had a chance to compete with him.
Yeah, well, maybe one day we'll get the invite. We got to talk to humans. Brian, the one, it does feel kind of crazy that Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah. Do you blame that on Aaron
Rodgers? One Super Bowl appearance. In my head, I'm like, he was there twice, and then I was doing the math. I'm like, no, he's.
Eli gets great credit for defeating an undefeated Tom Brady, but that 15-1 Packers team was very good. And that team should have won a suit. I think this is where Mike, you look at Mike McCarthy's record. I hate to derail to coaching search stuff, but he was good. He had a lot of wins, but he underperformed that team with Aaron Rodgers repeatedly. To your point, the fact that they only had one Super Bowl seems...
McCarthy, he's the Lamar Jackson of head coaches. Maybe he ends up in Baltimore.
No, I think he, so slightly different physique, but maybe same eating patterns as we saw Lamar.
No, but he's a great win-loss in the regular season,
yeah,
but kind of hits the wall late there.
Yeah, just not good. Not good in the postseason.
Not good in the postseason. You know who's great in the postseason? The laddie daddy, CJ Sullivan, bringing some ladders that are going to rock your world here in the wild card playoffs. Stay tuned. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.